Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we have come on the air. We have plowed the ground. We have carried the load. We have fasted and prayed. We have sought the Lord for wisdom, how to do what we're doing right now, to come to you, to encourage you, and tell you there's hope, even in a time of trouble, even when things you wanted to go a certain way, that even God's plans are greater than that. And joining me to encourage you, who've been on this journey with me, is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, faithful one in the northeastern United States, Johnny Appleseed himself, John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're going to be talking about, you know, Bible-minded cities. Bible-minded cities, top three. Dr. Mark Hamby, the one who wrote the book We Have Not Many Fathers, really who actually shared a revelation with about 500,000, 700,000 people who purchased the book We Have Not Many Fathers. We're going to be talking, hopefully today, as I've been talking about, intercession or inter-succession. Oh, first time I ever let that much out, right? Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to say that today. And some questions I ponder. You'd be really surprised how I think.
Yes, you would.
And we're with you. We're here to encourage you. We can do this thing. Pray for us, as today we have a interesting formulation, cumulus formulation in the clouds over us today in our live program. So you might hear not just thunder and lightning in the studio, but you might hear thunder and lightning in the skies today. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Good, good day, good day, good day, good day. Oh, my goodness. I'm just thinking this morning, my heart is just going out to the Padilla family.
Yes, you know, just got a phone call from Eddie and a text from Joanne that Mr. Padilla right now, the doctors are saying that he's not being expected to make it past today. And I know so many prayers have gone up for Mr. Padilla, and so much love has been poured out over Eddie and Maria and Joanne and the family. And I just ask we just continue to pray for this family. So going through really difficult and tough time today. My heart just goes out to them, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, he just got, you know, great children, you know, Eddie and.
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness. And Joanne. And I remember we were praying on. For him on Sunday, you know, ministers from around the States, and God gave a vision to Renee while we were praying, which is this, I mean, so many prayers have gone up for Eddie and Joanne's father, you know, Mr. Padilla, and it's just something happened, something shifted at that moment, you know, and sometimes things are not what they seem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just believe God heard that prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he make a vision, make this over Pennsylvania, mind you?
Yeah.
Over Pennsylvania. Yeah. And it's just the heart of God. He looks for somebody to stand in the gap and to pray and intercede. So, Joanne, Eddie, the Padilla family, our hearts are with you.
Yes.
And and we're praying for you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're hearing some pretty continual and unfolding. Nonstop, you think, well, that's it. Right?
Right.
5 minutes later, well, that's it. You know, it's sort of like the Lions football team. You think, okay, that touching, that's it. 400 points later, that's it. There's only four quarters. How could it be this high? The things that are unfolding rapidly before us in our nation is a turning over. You know, Dr. Mark Hamby, who I've never met personally anybody like him, and I'm not saying there isn't anybody like him. That could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. You know, like God would know that. Right. But you know, part of him, you know, I've met, and I just really so often when somebody's given a revelation or a word, you know, God, they're hearing God, what God's saying. We have a tendency to define that person and their value or their significance based off God used them for a moment. You know, like Peter was kind of his own inflated personality when he made the first prophecy about who Jesus was. You know, he was so pumped up, you know, thou art the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he waited. And then Jesus says in front of the other 11, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so, you know, Peter.
Yeah.
And so we based on what we read, and but I do know Peter's. And he's like, man, I can't wait to prophesy again. Pastor, can you get me? Can I prophesy today? Can I lay hands on people and prophesy today? Can I prophesy today? I got a word. It's like, you already gave one. That was the one God revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just a prophet. It's like, you know, we like prophets when they hear from God. There's nothing like it. But I don't think he's dropping one every 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, that was one word for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So here goes Peter. He's all pumped up. You know, it's the next gathering of your church. You're coming together. And he's like, listen, he's not going to give me time to be able to get the mic and be able to speak. So I'm going to go right in front of everybody, and I'm going to prophesy right to Jesus, right? And Jesus is doing what he does, you know, being awesome. And all of a sudden I can see it now, you know, Peter tapping him on the shoulder. Jesus, I got a word for you. I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm hearing from the same Father that you told me that I heard from earlier. Remember you said flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so Father would say unto you, yes, Peter, yes, Mr. Fisherman, you know, the one I rescued over and over again, say, yes, says, you are not to go under or go down to Jerusalem. Then they squint their eyes, you know, and they go, and then you go,
wait, head tilted.
And Jesus looks back at this second prophecy and he says, what the heck are you doing? You so missed that. Get behind me, Satan. It's like, whoa. Jesus, whoa, you're whoa. Ruining my ministry here. Ho, ho. First you told everybody I was a prophet, and now you're telling me I'm Satan. No, I'm telling you Satan. I'm saying your mouth is Satan. Your tongue is Satan, and you are listening to a father. You're listening to the father of lies. He said very specifically that there's two fathers going in. There's a father in heaven, which is the father of Jesus, and then there's father of lies. And at that moment, he switched that quickly from because he was all, you know, ooh, I'm a prophet. Sha ta beke, baby. Say hey. they walk, you know, and I'm not saying anything. I mean, I'm like John Bevere. I am for prophecy. It just needs to be accurate. You know, many people are walking around. many people are needed to walk a 10 mile journey with a 3 mile word. You know, I was like, where's the rest of it? And it's like, which father was this thing? And so, you know, they kind of come close, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there trying to minister, and then, you know, it's like seed that falls amongst the thorns and chokes it out. Yes, Peter. Dude, I'm trying to teach about weeds and thorns here. I got a spiritual thing. Got a spiritual thing to talk about. Listen, we're being choked out by these cares and people. I got a spiritual encounter here for you. Okay, go ahead. Don't go to Jerusalem. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, which totally blew Peter's ministry out of the water. Get behind me, Satan. He says, you have on your mind yourself. You have on your mind the things of man, the horizontal things instead of the vertical things, the things of man, not the things of God. And then he said, because you opened your mouth in the name of a prophet and I allowed you to speak into my ear, that now you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. I meant, listen, just because, you know, we're used by the Lord, it doesn't mean that it's something you pull out of your holster like a gun and you shoot like a cowboy anytime. You know, you got to hear from God. You don't want to be known that you're by your gift. You want to be known by the giver who gave the gift,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he was all caught up in his gift, and the giver of the gift. Remember, Jesus administrates the gifts. Think about it. You know, Jesus gave this gift. You know, and it's like, oh my goodness. And then he looks at the giver of the gift, and he exalts his gift over the very one that gave the gift. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that crazy? Because all of a sudden, the gift. I have the gift of discernment. No, you don't, because if you did, you would not be about what you're about to say. You would just stop.
And I know what gift I got.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're like, yeah, so, you know, I got the gift of discernment. Okay, let me think of my, getting anything? What are you hearing? They tell you something like, nope, you don't have the gift of discernment, because if you would only know what was going through my mind at that moment, you probably would have had to forgive me. You're like, you got to forgive me. You got to forgive me. But it's just amazing, you know, things that are being just, you know, shot out in the name of God. And that second word is the one to watch out for. That's what Rick Joyner talks about. He said, watch out for the second word, because the first word sometimes puffs up depending on the individual who delivered it. Why? Because giftings can take you places that your character cannot keep you.
That's right.
We can't mistake the fact that we have a perfect gift that accompanies perfect character. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
It'd be cool, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
I hereby give you a perfect gift and perfect character. What happens is God gifts you, and then you got to keep working on your character so you don't get killed.
You don't die.
You don't die, right?
Yeah.
You don't die. It's like, by the time you're ready to be used like Joseph, you know, you're right here and they're about to make you the president of Egypt, which is falling apart today, understand?
Mm-hmm.
You're going like, no, I don't think I have a gift. No, I don't. Go to Jerusalem if you want to. I don't know. I don't know anything. Yeah, no, whatever. Find yourself somebody to run this thing. I'm just totally fine in the jail. Yeah, I'm managing the jail right now. And granted, he was a trustee everywhere he went. God blessed him. But I don't know where, you know, I want to encourage you today that there's nothing more exciting than to hear a word from the Lord. And there's nothing more divisive between a believer and God than a word, a believer in God's will, than a word not from God. So that gift should be with fear and trembling. Because even Jesus, when a word was spoken over him that was from not from God, it almost divided him from the will of God. I just deliver words and let them land. Like, oh my goodness, we'll see you at the judgment seat.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because Peter almost divided Jesus from the will of the Father. He said, you almost tempted me not to do the will of the Father. And it's like, no, prophecy's awesome when it's from God. But when it's just something tossed over your business card to land on somewhere so you get a speaking engagement, or an offering, you know, those are deadly.
Careful, careful.
Yeah. Sir, the Lord was saying to me, I think you're a man. And today's generation, like, thank God.
You're right.
I was wondering. You're a lady. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I don't know. I think about, you know, John Bevere wrote the book, and it literally, you know, it was real tough. You know, on that particular gifting. But the truth is, the Word of God says more about false preachers than it does about false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter wasn't false, but the word he gave was false.
Yeah, big difference.
The word he gave was false. And that we just can't let people, you know, just anybody who wants to speak into our ear, we need to know their fruit, we need to know their life. And, you know, first be fruitful, be mm-hmm. faithful, be related, and then all of a sudden, then God begins to speak. You know, God begins to speak to you. But, and this is the direction that I was really talking about. Imagine now, instead of continually telling people how to paint their cabinets who are in the cabinet business, in other words, keep on using that gift on the church, turn it out into the world. I mean, if it's your true gift, if you really are a prophet,
mm-hmm.
my goodness, ma'am, my goodness, sir, go out into the coffee shops. Let God tell you about the person drinking their coffee over there. Walk up to them and boldly separate yourself from that word that God gave it to you, so it's not you. And you go ask permission and say, listen, the Lord has spoken to me about you. Do you have a moment? And you deliver it, and it reveals in their heart that God is real. God's thinking about them, and there's a chance they may come to God. That's one of the most, you know, the miracles, the words and the miracles and the signs and the wonders, that's for the lost.
Yeah.
I need to swing over to so-and-so's church so I can help them church, you know? It's like 10 cabinet companies. I'm building cabinets here, but I need to swing over there and tell them how to build their cabinets, or just kind of look at their cabinets and say, the Lord says your cabinets look good. They look good. Your cabinets are good, like your hinges and your knobs and your stains and the teak wood or the whatever wood you're using and the Formica countertops, the marble countertops. Like, how much longer do we got to talk about each other?
Mm.
You know, we got a whole Bible that tells us what God thinks about us. But this is a lost world out there that's waiting for you, if you're a prophet, to go out there and bust those hard hearts wide open with the love of God. And let them know. They're running to soothsayers. They're running to
fortune tellers.
Fortune tellers. And here you are with the gift of prophecy. Run out there. Tell them the things the Lord lays on your heart. And if you're not a prophet, don't tell the church that you are. Hmm. Don't tell the church you are, because they want to hear prophecy and they just go ahead and buy into it. And it really is a whoredom spirit. It's a whoredom spirit that runs after a word. You know, this runs after a word and runs after a word. It's like, you know, if you were hearing a word from God, this is what God would say. I gave you five. I spoke of you five times.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do, obey, or follow any of those or believe those. You're just looking for another thermostat adjustment on your comfort and convenience level. With your air conditioning or heating system, you're not looking to go into the harvest field. Abraham heard a word. He said, God, here's the word he heard. Get thee up and go, and I will show you.
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And if you want to hear from God again, you're going to first have to get up and go and move by faith. And you'll be surprised. God speaks.
Yeah.
Powerfully, he speaks.
The prophets that I'm familiar, you know, with is... I don't often hear prophets call themselves prophets. You know, they give themselves the word, you know,
right.
And they allow the word to speak for itself. But I've the true prophets that I've know of and, you know, received their ministry and seen of, they don't wear it as a badge. They just give it. They're actually very humble.
The burden to bear.
Yeah, it is. And the thing, too, is that what we're all hearing when you're prophesying, you're hearing the very same Father share the very same thing. You're just hearing what heaven's saying, so it's not mm-hmm. like a secret.
Right.
You know, you're tapping into what God has already said. Your true prophecy bears witness with a man's heart that what is he already is made known to him, what God's already saying to him. So there's this encounter with, oh my goodness, that God just revealed my heart.
Mm.
He just revealed my heart. You know, that type of thing versus mm-hmm. going like, oh, okay, I guess he wants me to marry her. It's like, do you even know who she is? No, but you know, prophet came over and said, dude, listen,
mm-hmm.
ma'am, listen. You know, this is what a true prophet said. Paul said, listen, if you are married, act like you're not. And if you're not, don't, because the time is short.
That's right.
But if you do, you're not sinning. Shut up, my case. Yeah. Did he not?
That's what he said.
So, you know, that remember it's that. We're going to talk about intercession today. Prophetic, the word of God delivered from a man who loves God should be in alignment with God's word.
Mm.
You can always verify a true prophet by the truth, which is the written word of God. To be able to make sure that it lines up with that. When they start speaking outside of that, then you got to begin to wonder, you know, what's going on in the context of this. We'll be right back in a moment. You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me.
Mm.
And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever. They and so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's mm-hmm. right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh my
she
goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just, it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because mm-hmm. she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iobide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about, for some reason, we ended up on prophets and prophecy, which is very important. We just kind of follow the Lord and what's happening in the context of that. But we were talking about Mark Hamby, Dr. Hamby, and I don't believe he's a false prophet, but I am saying that he got a word that was from heaven.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that the second word might be a little bit, you know, different. And I had a few second words before. You ever had a second word before?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
I've had
Yeah, you pull, it's like a first word is like, you can like, man, and you just build, and you got this cookie cutter shape like the first word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get ready to whack the next piece of cookie dough and go, I got this puppy, bam! And it just like, what happened? It didn't work because it's a proceeding word.
Yeah,
it's a proceeding word. It's fresh, and but the word that it's amazing is he wrote it out in a book called We Have Not Many Fathers, and that's what in 1 Corinthians 4:15-17 Paul talks about it. The Apostle Paul is that we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I am your Father in Christ Jesus, and the revelation just builds, and mm-hmm. that even Jesus didn't even start his own ministry until his Father publicly affirmed him, their relationship and his pleasure with him. Two very important things. This is my Son who's in good standing with me. This is my Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm. Listen to him, and then you need to, that's a spiritual father going, you know, you need to hear what he's saying. Have you been over to his ministry? Have you shown up at his church? You know, that type of thing. And the reason why is because God knew what Jesus would do. And when Paul was talking about it, he knew what Timothy would do. Because, you know, and then Jesus says, imitate me. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father told him to do.
Yeah.
You know, and what did Paul? Paul said, imitate me. What did Timothy do? He did what Paul taught him to do because he said, go and let them know about the pattern I teach everywhere in every church. And it's, there's a lot to that. But in this revelation, it's about family and father. It's just very powerful. But one thing that I just heard recently, I think John and I heard him saying last night, was, and he's kind of, he's tapping into the sounds of heaven that we've been tapping into. It looks like for some time we've been tapping into it and trying to hear clearly about, you know, what God is doing in this generation. And it was pretty, it was a lot of harmony with a lot of harmony and kind of hearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And one specific thing is that people took that revelation and they put it in the context of the old wineskin.
Yeah.
They took the original revelation that it's father, son, order in the church from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my son, Adam. And then my son, second Adam, Jesus, the second Adam. And that, and you can take what God's doing and you can try to stick it into your cookie cutter. That was the first word, you know, the, what was working for you in the past,
right?
And destroy them both, because a new revelation, a new wine requires a new wineskin. You got to be willing to shed off the old skin. You got to, and the thing about it is, if we're not willing to shed it off, then it's not God anyway, because what we're saying is, that's mine.
Right.
That's mine. I can't let it go. And it's like, really? Then that wasn't God all this time? All this time that you've been preaching at me and teaching at me and telling me we need to do this and do that and all that, you're not willing to let it go?
Right.
This is your kingdom. This is not God's kingdom then. Mm. Right? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because if you're following God, you just want to go wherever the cloud is moving.
And he loves to say, take the boy to the top of Mount Moriah. Didn't we do that four times? Have we done that four times already? And you kind of give that look to everybody. Go, oh, he's going to Mount Moriah. We don't know if we're going to come back with the boy or not, but praise God, he's going to, you know.
Going to the mountain.
Going to the mountain. And that boy better hope he hears from God. Right?
Exactly.
Never a son was more glad than his son that he heard from the Lord. He had a father that could hear from God, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you hear God? Have you heard a word yet? No, not yet. Just tie your hands up and get it on top of the wood. Dear God, talk to my dad. The church is the church is the church, I mean, which is people. The church is people. If you don't know this, it's probably a shocker. You can go back and listen to hold on for a moment. If you haven't heard this, that the church is actually people. It's not a building. Brace yourself for this. And just pause for a moment and just pause. Just say, okay, just, you know, take what you thought it was and put it aside in a safe place, because you have to go grab it again. And go, oh, my goodness. And you can pull it back out again and look at it. But just put it there. And then step outside of the 4.5% of the world's population, America, and then look around the world and say, well, if this thing that I have in this secure box is the church, then what do they have? Because all they have is an oak tree. Mm. You know, all they have is a cave.
Yeah.
All they have is this back area. Mm-hmm. All they have is this place where they throw a blanket over their heads when they gather so nobody can see them, and they whisper when they talk, and they put guards outside wherever they're at so they don't hear, people don't hear. I mean, if this crystal cathedral that I got locked out of my box is the church, what do they have? Mm. Or the question is, if that's the church, 95% of the world, right, population, if that's the church, then what is this? And I love the way that if you have a, this is how he gave the analogy, Dr. Hamby did, about, imagine a cannonball or a cannon that was on a warship, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and it drops down in the ocean. And, you know, Pat and I had a privilege to go down diving and see, and some things, what happens in that nature. We have yet to get John underwater.
No, not yet.
It was a very short baptism.
When we go to Mexico, maybe.
We ain't going there unless they, we could. Maybe.
I know. That's what
you're probably hearing that. I think, didn't somebody show up with a word at your home with that, to go to Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
No, it was just buy my truck. It was go to Mexico. And so once it's down there for a long time, all these barnacles and all this growth, and it just starts piling up. You have one layer of this barnacles and stuff that gets on
coral,
and it attaches itself to the cannon, and that may die off or whatever, but then another layer of coral and barnacles would get on top of that one, and then it would just build over the years. So finally you got this big ball of barnacle and coral, and you pass over it, you know, as a diver or something. You're thinking, wow. But somebody who understands how things work, they say, you know, there might be something there other than what you're looking at. And so when they bring this big, huge, what they perceive to be just might be the church. I mean, it might be a cannon. You know, they pull it up and it's just one big wad of whatever that is that attached itself over the seasons to the cannon. Then they start cleaning it up. There could be treasure in there. We need to find out what's really it, because what we're looking at, it's just stuff that attached itself to the original thing, but the original thing is still there. We just got to find the simplicity of the church. We got to find the church again. Where is the church in all of this? And besides, all this stuff costs money, and it costs time, and it costs effort, and it costs energy. And we need to say, you know, where is the temple? Where is the building of God? And then we got to ask that question, you know, where is the cannon? We're digging and we're chipping. We're trying to be careful. Because we don't want to hurt the church. I mean, we don't want to hurt the cannon, because the cannon's important, but we got to get all this other stuff off. So you got to be real careful when you're trying to separate, you know, the what's attached itself to the church from the church, which is the body of Christ. And how you got to look at it. And when you find out, when you find the cannon, it's a lot smaller than it was to begin with, but it is the cannon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not all this stuff, all this burden and everything. Its purpose is revealed. And when the church is all that, we get rid of all this stuff. And I think we're about to go through a purging season that's going to begin to just cause these things to fall off. And a lot of things that you've lived your life for. I mean, you lived your life for, that you brought people to, that you promoted, that you paid for, that you took pledges for, that you talked about, that you bought little lapel pins and gave to everybody for, and all this different stuff, that stuff might not make it. But it's okay if it's not the church, isn't it? It's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, because all you want is the church. You don't want anything extra. Because when the churches start being the church, this is what we're called to do. Okay, second brace. Second brace, okay. Don't forget you got the other thing locked up safe, so you can grab it out and look at it and go, okay, I see you. This thing, I didn't leave it; it's still there. This is what we're supposed to do as the church, is that the leaders in the church are supposed to look at the believers in the church and see the call of God on their life and the giftings in their life and the character that needs working on and the need to be able to be taught the things and the commands of God and to be able to walk up and mature the body, so that they can do the work that they're called to do. We're supposed to actually seek out those who don't know God, preach the gospel that they could be saved, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them to the teachings of Jesus so they can obey them, so that they are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Then we're to send them out into the world like sheep amongst wolves, tell them to be as wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and stay related to them as the family we are in the body of Christ. And they are to be accountable as they go out, just like Paul and Barnabas came back and reported to their church in Antioch of all the things that they were doing. And the kingdom advances when we do this. Is this dangerous? It always has been. It's always been dangerous. Jesus said, look out, watch out for men, right?
That's right.
And he said, when they arrest you. You know, when they arrest you. I mean, we're so got so many barnacles on us and so many things we've attached to ourselves that when things that Jesus said would happen, we don't have a grid for it. And we begin to judge the very fruit of what happens when somebody follows God and does what Jesus says. Because we can't even see the cannon. We can't even see it. And so we're thinking, oh my goodness, people are talking bad about him or talking bad about her. That must mean that they're not of God. It's like, I know you're probably part of the 82% that hadn't read your Bible lately. But don't start in Genesis. Swing on up and start in the Gospel. Start in Matthew. Matter of fact, start in John and then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to soak that and realize that that's going to happen. We're going to be treated at least the greatest amount of treatment that we can expect that's good from the world is up until how Jesus was treated. We're not going to be treated any better than Jesus was treated, right?
Right.
A student will not be treated better than his teacher.
Mess. Right.
And so, let's say, okay, he was liked by some, hated by others, betrayed by many, and beat, lied on, and crucified, right?
Mm.
And so it just wasn't necessarily, you know, but look what happened. Mm. It was awesome. And so I want to encourage you to become that person who finds the kingdom of God or finds, it's like a man that finds a treasure. He finds a cannon buried in a field, but he don't know it's a cannon yet. It's all filled with barnacles and stuff. But you're hearing what I'm saying and it's bearing witness to you and you're ready just to clean your cannon. You're ready to go through the process of separating what is of God and what's of man. Because first of all, you know, what's of man is not going to stand. It's all going to be tested by fire. And I think the fire is coming now. It's going to separate all this stuff, you know, the wheat. It's going to separate the hay, wood, and stubble from the true work of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, Lord, take it. I'm tired. Take the hay, wood, and stubble. If I'm spending my energy and my time on hay, wood, and stubble, dear Jesus, please, I am too tired right now. I want it to be meaningful. I want the work to be lasting. And I've always prayed that the Lord would take that away now. Instead of just building, you know, something else.
A bigger
bonfire. And so in the context of that, just begin to think. And let me tell you something, that the church is the body of Christ. Walking in obedience to Jesus is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It is an amazing thing. It is, it's what you were created for. It's your destiny. And religion and barnacles and coral things that grow on that is not. That's not. And as men, we have a tendency to allow things to attach itself to the original intent of what we were doing. And we can go back and just constantly, which time of fasting and prayer and just cleansing that out of our life and being willing to let things go. And that's how you know if you're not willing to let it go, then you're not even holding it. It's holding you. It's holding you. And I think a separation's coming. So Hamby was talking about this. I don't know if I'm all in what I was kind of hearing, but I understood the gist of, I'm for the gist of what he's saying is that, you know, it's time for us to get back to what the Word of God says. And it says what it says. And it's this sort of like this, imagine this book of laws that says the speed limit is this, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And in that, there's also a particular law called grace and called mercy. And that when you understand how these things coexist, that the expectations of God, the love of God, the lavished grace upon our lives, and the mercies of God, because grace is not getting, is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mm-hmm. Which means when we're walking with God in obedience to God and looking at his commands, this book of laws, looking at his commands, that we understand that, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it. But we're not going to avoid looking at it just because we're not perfect at it, because he has all the grace and mercy I need in my time of need. And I can approach the throne of grace with boldness because he can empathize with what I'm going through right here. And he will empower me if I abide with him to walk in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Hide his word in my heart and begin to just do, you know, what he says. And he says very specifically, very, very specifically through James, is that, and you'll be blessed in all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't, you know, many people are merely deceived. These are the people that look at God's word and they don't do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at God's word intently and study it and do what it says, he says, you'll be blessed in all you do. We need to go dig for this treasure. Realize this is what I'm telling you, that it's the kingdom of God, and imagine it buried in a field. Everything that you're doing that's not of God, you know, just sell it, get rid of it, and go and buy that entire field and say, I'm going to stay here till we whittle this cannon out, because this generation is going to know God, and God's name is going to be glorified in the earth, and it's going to be a great outpouring in this day that's going to bring in a great harvest for the next generation. We'll be right back.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now. I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about $1 based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. $1 puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just speaking about what's happening, some prophetic words, I believe, over the church and the direction. It's exciting, some of the most exciting days ahead of us, and it's not going to be complicated, because all you're going to have to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life, spend time with him, hear his voice, hide his word in your heart, read his instruction manual, the Bible, and just do what it says. Mm. Do what it says.
You know, speaking about that, doing what the word says, and speaking about the Bible, the Barna Group, our friends at the Barna Group, released a new report, and what they want to do, they want to find out the current and future role of the Bible in U.S. society. So they did this study, and what they want to find out was out of the 96 largest cities in the country, they want to see how the people in the cities viewed the Bible. So they had like a 42,000 interviews. You'd be very interested.
42,000. Wow.
42,000 interviews. And the report ranks the most and the least minded city, Bible-minded cities. Okay? The least and the most Bible-minded cities, which mm-hmm. makes you think, you know, what? How did they characterize what's Bible-minded? Okay, help us out of here, right?
Right.
So the way they defined a Bible-minded was individuals who report reading the Bible in a typical week and who strongly assert that the Bible is accurate in the principles it teaches and are considered to be Bible-minded. And so
one more time, so we can get that in our brains.
Okay. Individuals.
This is a Bible-minded person. This is how they defined it.
Right. Okay. Right. So individuals who report reading the Bible in a typical week and who strongly assert the Bible is accurate in the principles it teaches, that's what a Bible-minded person was for this study.
Okay.
So very interesting. They list, you know, they have a list, and we're going to make this available for our VFN radio listeners on the Torch. They list the cities from 1 to 96. Of course, there are some southern cities. In the first top 10, you have Knoxville, Tennessee, Shreveport, Louisiana, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Birmingham.
What, number one? You said the number one?
Number one Bible-minded city. Number one.
Is Shreveport?
No, it was Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, Knoxville, yes. That's where that is actually where Lifeway. No, they're not Lifeway. They're not Knoxville, are they?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure. Okay. Shreveport's number two. Shreveport, Louisiana.
Who took the survey? That's great. I think it's wonderful.
Well, you have Birmingham number four.
Makes sense.
You know, Charlotte, North Carolina, number seven.
Morningstar Ministries there.
Number six. Huntsville and Decatur, Alabama, number nine.
Springfield who?
No. Huntsville. Okay. Huntsville and Decatur, Alabama.
Okay.
Then you have Charleston and Huntington, West Virginia. And Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach area is ranks number 13.
Wow.
13. Out of 96, and New York ranks 85.
What is New Jersey? 80. What's about New Jersey? Or what about Newark?
I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. But you know, it's interesting. We look at this.
That's like
this
Lot stuff. Going. Do you see Sodom? Do you see Sodom?
Well, you talk about like really, you know, it's like Bible minded. It's, you know,
that's huge.
You can look at this in two ways. You know,
oh, yeah, I guess religious. Say
this is,
or...
Yeah, this is good, right?
Right.
But what we talk about all the time, you're like, you know, what's the point, right? I mean, if we're
Can you
saying,
make this available on the Torch so everybody could see this?
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah. This is a whole graph. It's a whole graph. Oh, cool. It'll be available on the Torch. We talk about what's the point. You know, James tells us in 2:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're all this Bible-minded right now, you know what I mean? How is this reflecting in our nation? How is this reflecting in our country?
Right.
And so
George Barna did this. Normally, he's pretty like balanced in how he presents it. You know,
well, it wasn't that. You know, this is what people. You know, they said they this is their interview. So they mm-hmm. said they read it weekly. They say how many times.
Right.
But and they say they believe it accurately.
Right.
But does it mean that they actually do what it says? You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's something we got to think about, you know. But I thought very, very interesting that we shared this today. But it's not just important to believe God's word is real, but we need to read it and apply it, which makes me think about being a hear do,
right?
Not a hear. And we'll probably make that related as well, so you can actually hear that segment within on the radio, because it's fantastic. It's important not just to hear God's word and to believe that it's accurate and it's true. But if we believe it, then we're actually going to apply it into our every single day life.
Right. That's good. That's very, very good. Well, there's some questions that I don't know if we have time to share before the break. Do we have time to share before the break? The some questions just kind of, I just By the way, remember when I was talking yesterday? We're just about to kick off yesterday's program, and I got kind of distracted. And I said, my favorite, really the best program on television is America's Funniest Videos. I was listening to the radio yesterday. And America's Funniest Videos, because it's safe and it's just funny. Someone's enjoy it. But I don't enjoy people hurting themselves. People laugh and say, how could that be funny?
Mm. Unlike some people.
That just doesn't make sense to me. I guess the empathy in my heart, I'm like, ow, I feel it. Oh, So here I am. I'm in Franklin, North Carolina, on this cabin in the middle of nowhere. Surprised it even had any had satellite, I think, coming into it. And I'm watching America's Funniest Videos. And what happens is when I see something that's tragic, and a lot of people do this, they take their hands and they put them on both sides of their faces. They go, oh, like this, You just put your hand over both. Somebody grab your face. You grab your face. And this motorcycle person that was riding a motorcycle had just did something crazy. And go surprise, and like landed upside down on his neck or something. Oof. And I didn't see the rest. I closed my eyes, but I took my hands and I slapped both sides of my head. Oh my goodness! I went bam, and I hear I'm on a sabbatical in the middle of the wilderness. Oh, I'm planning on spending time reading God's word, spending time with Him and praying and trying to hear Him out. But I wear glasses. I wear glasses, and I'm watching this funniest video thing. And as soon as I hit boom, both sides of my face is my glasses right in the middle, and went boom. And
just my goodness!
I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not good. This is not good, And my glasses just bent up like a 90-degree I never thought about that. I just never thought about that actually happening before. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I gonna, And then of course. A lot of prayer and miracles that
some duct tape.
No, I don't. They don't have duct tape. I don't think in Franklin area.
No.
I was able to bend back and just it was pretty amazing. But I just almost broke my glasses. Now if I watch America's Funny Videos, I sit on my hands.
Or slap Pat.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that was major. Well, some things I think about that just kind of. I just ponder just some questions I think about because we're looking at how things are and it just makes me wonder something like this. How can a Christian man or woman who is addicted to internet pornography, which is 50% of men, 20% of Christian men, 20% of Christian women, stand in righteous judgment about the sexuality of the world as so many do. It just makes me wonder. It's like, really? Yes, God can forgive and set us free. But the question is, if this is what we're doing, judging others like this, will He? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He says in I think Romans chapter 2, verse 1, He says, at whatever point you're judging others, you're doing that yourself. Mm-hmm. Didn't He say that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're creating a bad, return on yourself. Or how can Christian men and women march outside Washington, D.C., protesting taxes, money being taken away from them? They said, they're taking our money. They're robbing us. That they're protesting taxes that the government has taken from them when, according to George Barna, 97% of them, of Christians, are robbing from God and not giving Him His tithes and offerings. Yes, God can forgive us, but what does that say about the church? What does that say about us? Mm. And what does that mean for our future if we don't even understand, if we're robbing from God while we're complaining about somebody robbing from us? Isn't that like what Pat talked about, we talked about yesterday, about forgiveness? You talked about forgiveness, remember, John?
Yeah.
That here we are choking out the government for our taxes while all along we're robbing God of His tithe.
Crazy.
It's not good. Tormented and tortured, right?
That's right.
New form of government arises. or you think about this, that how can tell me now if I miss, if you, this is, you don't see this happening in society in the world.
No, I see it.
Okay. How can a man and a woman who decided to murder their child in its mother's womb feel it's their place to call the police on another man and woman who decided not to murder their child, but to have them and raise them and discipline them and call in the police because they spanked their child and calling it abuse? How could that even be? And somebody says, well, that's the world. Well, 55 million murders have taken place in the last 40 years. That's 3,767 children murdered in the womb every day. Or 150 children, 56 children murdered an hour over the last 40 years. But yet, it just seems like this whole system is against the parents who decided not to. You know what it is? It's just a satanic thing. You know, the enemy convinced one to end their child's life, and now he's trying to stop the other one from raising that child. It's all against the next generation. But how could someone who has murdered their child feel in any way it's their place to tell anyone how to raise their child?
Anyone.
Anyone. Yes, God can and will forgive, but will he, if this is the position someone has taken, criticizing the parents for raising their children God's way according to biblical instructions? Just things that I ponder. How can Christians demand prayer in school for their children when their children say, my parents don't even pray in their homes? Could it be that prayer has left the school because it has left our homes? Just things that I think about. How can Christians, another one, how can Christians march outside of a courthouse with picket signs and megaphones demanding the Ten Commandments to be placed back on the courtroom wall when 82% of them don't even read the Bible for where the Ten Commandments are found? And most couldn't even tell you what the Ten Commandments are or where to find them in the Bible they're not even reading. Is it that they are taking down the Ten Commandments from the public square because God's people, Christians, have taken them down in their own homes, in their hearts? I think I have one more. How is it that Christians have no qualm about organizing political action committees and protests to tell their government that they are out of order and taking too much control in their lives when Christian families are so out of order according to God's expectation of order that if the world knew God's order, they would turn the tables on the church and they would tell us, you get your house in order first before you come and tell us how to get the House of Representatives in order. Is God going to give a pass to this generation when it comes to his order? Or is he the same God yesterday, today, and forever? There is an order for marriage. But wives are ruling over their husbands from behind and up in front. There is an order to family, but yet children are ruling over their parents and running their fathers off or ruling their fathers through their mothers. There is an order to church which has almost totally left the family order, the family of God. Father, son order. How can someone that is out of order think that they can truly help the world and its systems get in order? How? Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.